You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
All right. Well, Michael's been preaching about the Holy Ghost, and I almost told him last week before last that I would preach on the Holy Ghost for him if he wanted me to. And then he got up and preached, but I never told him. And then he got up and preached on the Holy Ghost last Sunday. And then Wednesday night he did it again. And I know I've preached this similar before, but I just wanted to preach today. So anyway, you know, the Holy Ghost, baptism in the Holy Ghost is so good. It's so beneficial.
Yes.
And Michael established last Sunday when he was ministering about that the Holy Ghost is not, your salvation is not determined by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You accept Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you are saved. But the Holy Ghost is just a benefit, a side, it's like icing on the cake to being saved. And so it is important that we receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost after today, I hope that you want to pursue that. And I hope that you'll be stirred in your heart that the Holy Ghost is good for you. It's, you know, we hear about eating healthy food all the time, but we still eat junk every once in a while. But we need to be focusing in on the good things that we need that will nourish us, that will build us up, will strengthen our bodies in the physical, but the Holy Ghost will strengthen you in your inner man, and that is something that's just as important as your healthy eating through your mouth, you know, food, and I'm kind of excited. Anyway, you know, Jesus said, told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem till they would be endued on high with power from on high in the Holy Ghost, that they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with the fire. And so you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And to be filled, I looked up the definition of fill. Like, you know, I really need to know that. Anyway, there were several things that one definition is, to put as much as possible into, to make full, to put a considerable quantity into, to fill one's life with joy. And the one that I really like, there's several more, the one I really like is to spread out or be diffused throughout. So we want to be diffused with the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible says, and I think it's John 7, that says that Jesus said that out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. And then he goes on and says he's referring to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So how, if you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, then how are those rivers flowing out of you? And so, okay. Everyone is eligible for it. If you're born again,
yes,
you are eligible to receive the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And some of the, I just want to mention some of the benefits. Well, wait a minute. I'll back up a second. You know, when Jesus comes back for the church, there's going to be a shout. And Michael always says that he's waiting on the Father to say, okay, son, everything's ready. You can go get your bride. And Jesus is going to be so excited about it, he's going to shout. And that's the shout we're going to hear is, I can go get them. Well, when you read Acts 2, it says that there was a sudden, let me turn over there. When the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, Acts 2, first verse, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I believe the Holy Ghost was just as excited as Jesus is going to be when the Father says, go get your bride, that the Holy Ghost just couldn't wait to get here. And he just rushed in to a group of men and women who were so in one accord, worshiping God, They were so wanting God to move in their lives, to empower them, to put that power in them so they could go out into Jerusalem and they could go around to the uttermost parts of the earth. If you've been weak in your witness, you haven't really wanted to walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" Maybe you're not full of the Holy Ghost, full enough of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you need to spend more time, even if you're baptizing the Holy Ghost. Maybe you need to spend more time stirring up that gift that's in you, stirring it up, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And you say, "Well, how's that going to benefit? If I just pray in the Holy Ghost all the time, how's that going to make my faith grow?" Because the Holy Ghost is our teacher. If you look over in John 14, it's, let's turn over there too. I can quote them. But when I get it in front of y'all, and I'm changing my confession, I'm going to be able to quote the word when I'm in front of people. Okay, 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So the Holy Ghost is our teacher, and he wants to, like an artist paints, somebody can tell you about this wonderful trip they've gone on, and they can show you a photograph, and that gives you a picture. Or just like an artist, let's do this illustration. If it was an artist and they were saying, "Oh man, I saw this most wonderful mountain range." Dean Garner was here this week, and they went to Montana, and he was saying, "It's the most gorgeous mountain range scenery that I've ever seen." And he said, "I've been in several countries around the world, but this was the most gorgeous." Well, if he would have been an artist, he could have painted a picture for us. And it wouldn't have been like being there, but he could have painted a picture, and we would have had a better idea, a visual idea of what he saw. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost wants to paint a picture of the goodness of God. He wants to paint a picture for us. He wants us to see the heart of the Father, how he wants wants everyone to spend eternity with him. He wants everyone to spend eternity with him. If you're here today and you're not born again, I hope, and I know the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart, but I hope that you want to give your life to God. I hope that if you're here today and maybe there's some things in your life that's prevented you from being close and right with God, that you say, "I need to repent." 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I hope that you want to say, "Hey, I haven't been doing right. God, I know that you love me. I know that I'm going to spend eternity with you, but I know I can do more if I'm right with you. If my relationship's right." Our children, not all of them have been perfect. I mean, they haven't done every single thing exactly the way we want them to do it. And so we, as children, but we still love them. Yes. In spite of things that have happened. They haven't been horrible. Girls, I love you. And boys, and back there in the back, I know that you know that I love y'all too. They're all in church. But just like the Father, loves us no matter what we do. And he wants us to be so right. Because when you're right, if you've got the right relationship with your girls or your sons or children, you can talk to each other and you can work things out. And God wants that channel to be open between us so we can work everything out. We can do and be what he wants us to be. So the Holy Ghost just draws, he wants to make it so alive to you how much God loves you with an everlasting love that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So he wants to make it, Jesus and God the Father, so alive to us that we just want to be close to him. We want to be up next to them. We want to rub shoulders with them because we want to be so close to them that we know their heartbeat and we know what he wants us to do. So the Holy Ghost, that's one of the benefits of the Holy Ghost, is that he's our teacher. And if we spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, spend time with the Word. If you say, well, I have a hard time understanding the Bible, pray before you open it. Oh, just pray, Father, I ask that that as I open up the Word today, that the Holy Ghost is going to show and reveal to me the things that I'm reading. And if you still are having little problems, there's study books available, there's teaching tapes available, but we need to know the heartbeat of the Father. And so that's one of the benefits of the Holy Ghost, is that he's our teacher. And as we pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit, that we edify ourselves, and that's another scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:4, says that we edify ourselves. We don't have to turn there. I only have 5 minutes left. Anyway, if you're still in John, just turn over to the 16th chapter and 13th verse. Says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. See, Jesus is just telling the disciples, he's coming. These are some of the benefits of him coming. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. Who's he going to hear from? He's going to hear from the Father. That shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. You know, he'll show you. How many of you can say that you just felt a little nudge, you were going to go somewhere and you felt like you should wait, or you felt a little nudge to actually go do something. And when you got there, you went, oh, man, that was the Holy Ghost telling me to do that. That was the Holy Ghost that told me to give $5 to that gentleman, or that was the Holy Ghost that told me this. And so he will show you things to come. He will show you things that will keep you out of harm's way. Okay. He helps us to pray when we don't know what to do. If you'll turn over to Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself or himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Ghost, how many times have you prayed and you just don't know how to pray? Maybe there's someone that you want to pray for, but you don't know what's going on in their life. Maybe you're wanting to pray for the missionaries. Well, you know, you don't know all the things that they're going through right today because you're not there. You don't see it. You don't know what they're feeling, but the Holy Ghost does. I mean, we can pray, you know, general things. You know, God, that you meet their needs financially according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you that you're preparing the hearts of people that they're going to minister to, that the light of the glorious gospel will shine into their hearts and minds. You can pray general things. Father, that the peace of God, that their families are going to serve God, that they're going to have favor with those that are in authority in their country that they're ministering in. And Father, that you're going to work out everything for them. To be able to go and minister, open more doors, that you're going to put people with them to help fulfill the call that they have and the vision and dreams that they have for their ministry. But there are things that they might be going through that we don't know in the natural, but the Holy Ghost knows. So you can pray in tongues for them. And you might say, well, you know, some people say praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. And you know, Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. But there are times, like in our service today, if I started just speaking in tongues, then you wouldn't get to hear this wonderful message. You wouldn't understand it. It'd edify me, but it wouldn't edify you. So there are times, and this is in 1 Corinthians 14, that it talks about, that Paul says that he'll pray in the Spirit and he'll pray with his understanding.
That's right.
And he'll sing in the Spirit, and he'll sing with his understanding. So like when we were singing tonight, today, and we were worshiping God, you know, there was times I was singing in tongues. But we were all doing it together. So it wasn't like it was in preventing y'all from understanding what I was saying, because I was talking to God. But we were all doing it together. So if I just said right now, I said, okay, let's all just raise our hands and worship the Lord. And y'all just, if you were baptized in the Holy Ghost, pray in tongues, then everyone would be edified individually. Yes. But if Teresa and Dave and Marty and Fred just started praying in tongues right now, it would keep all of us from understanding, and it would keep us, it disrupt. And God is a gentleman, and he does things decently in order. So so that's another thing, that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is one of the benefits of having the Holy Ghost. Okay. You know, in Psalms 23, one of the things that, in I forgot exactly which scripture it says, but he anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Well, in the Old Testament, the oil was a symbol of the Holy Ghost. It was, you know, they would, I think Michael said, or somebody was saying that they would anoint, they would put blood on the right thumb and the and right big toe, and they put blood, and that was to show the covering of sin and our cleansing. And then they would come in and they would put the oil over that blood. So we get born again because the blood of Jesus was shed first. And then the baptism in the Holy Ghost is just an anointing that comes on us. And in Psalms 133, is it 133 that says, let me turn over there real quick. And that today when we were singing, I just felt like there was just a sweet oil that was being poured out on all of us. That there was just the oil, like the oil of the Holy Ghost, that symbolized the Holy Ghost, was just being poured out on us while we were worshiping God. Okay. Turn over there. Okay. It's 12 o'clock. Y'all give me a couple minutes, I hope, is all. And why did I pick a day I didn't have much long to do? I still can't. Okay. Quit talking. Look for the scripture. Okay, Psalms 133 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." So how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, we're here all together today. We have one purpose and one goal, and that's to preach the gospel, to empower people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their worlds, their world. And it's like the precious ointment upon the head. That's the oil. They anointed a priest with oil, and it would. And they didn't do like we do. Where's our little bottles right here? They didn't take a little bottle of oil and go, "Okay, be blessed." I'm not gonna go through the whole. And they didn't use a little bitty bottle like this. They poured the oil on them because they wanted to saturate them. They wanted it to go all over them, not just a little dot on their head, on their forehead. They wanted the oil symbolized the anointing of God on them as a priest, an office that they were called to. And what are we? We are kings and priests before the Lord. Amen. When we're born again. So the oil of the Holy Ghost, God wants it to flow all over us. He wants it to saturate us, to be full. You know, even in Acts 4th chapter, I believe it is, the disciples gathered together after... which ones were got out of jail? I forgot right there. Peter and John got out of jail. And they got together and they were praying that God would give them boldness. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, we know they were filled in Acts 2. They got the baptism with the Holy Ghost in Acts 2. They spoke in tongues. But evidently, we need to say full all the time. And so that they were filled with the Holy Ghost again. It's not that they got baptized again, but they just got so full that it was overflowing, and they had boldness to preach the gospel.